Yeah, what's up, guys? We're doing the Bronx Pinstripe Show, special episode, Tampa style. We have our house down here, six guys, round table discussion, New York Yankees, and everything else. We're pretty much sending it out unedited. It was a lot of fun for all of us to just hang out and talk some baseball and other things. So you're going to get the raw stuff, and we're also going to have a video that Dom is going to be putting together in the next 24 hours. There's a lot of bets against it.
Yeah, so I'm on the side of this video is never getting edited. So to set the scene, we're in the backyard of an Airbnb in Tampa. There's some nice twinkle lights above.
Twinkle lights.
Yeah, they're not twinkling, but they look like twinkle lights.
Okay. I'm not sure what a twinkle light is, but
look ahead of you.
It is a nice scene. So differently. You said we're in the backyard of an Airbnb with twinkle lights, and he said, doing it Tampa style, getting it raw. And they both perfectly describe what happened here.
Yeah.
It's a great episode. Enjoy it.
Enjoy the episode. That's JJ, who's coming up with a new podcast. Next week, actually, we're going to be launching that bad boy. Look for that. You'll see the name, the new artwork. It's going to be dope. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know why I just said dope. Here we go.
We're breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go. Moved up from across the street, head down to a
different beat. Woke up, this is it for me, I gotta keep up. All right, we're in Tampa, spring training 2019. You guys had a hell of a day at the park today.
I was still in an airport.
In an airport for the last 24 fucking hours. But how was it? Talk about how the Yankees kicked the shit out of the Red Sox.
It was an ass whooping, right? I mean, what was the final score? 14-1?
Something like that.
Not that it matters.
You know what?
It was just a good day.
It was just a little bit of revenge for that ALDS game. I mean,
you cannot have revenge.
No. But that being said,
game.
Anytime you can beat the Red Sox by that kind of margin is not a bad day.
I think we saw a lot in the pinch running of
Tyler Wade.
I believe that.
Tyler Wade
and an infield single. Tyler Dean Wade.
Beautiful defense. Little double play turned. He showed his flexibility.
I think he's showing that he has flexibility to the roster.
I think yeah. He has MVP potential.
Frank, what do you think?
Frank, tell us your opinion of Tyler.
Hey,
Dean
man,
Wade.
Tyler Wade is a great toolsy prospect.
I'm going to send this directly to Tyler Wade, just so you know.
Yeah. Hey, man, plus defender, can get the bat to the ball. I mean, I'd rather see other people on the roster than Tyler Wade.
Okay, all right.
No, so it was cool. So being down at spring training, I think, is cool because, like, I think from the fan side, especially for doing what we do, you know, like, obsessive fans, the kind of people who go to spring training or blog or podcast or anything like that, this is, like, it's like the beginning of the new year. It's like New Year's for us. So
yeah.
You just start thinking about the game different once you've, like, seen it. And you get to, it's so cold in the Northeast now, you get to be warm for a few days.
Yeah.
It kind of gets you geared up.
Not only that, you get excited for the new season, but it also is just like a true emotional reset on the previous season, too. I feel like we've gotten that excitement back about what the future of the Yankees are.
You got to forget about the last season.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like that really does help when you're actually down here and you get to see our players going out there and performing well and getting ready for a season that should be overall a pretty positive experience.
Another Judge
Homer. Not
going
to lie. Yeah, another Judge Homer, but not going to lie, it sucked seeing all of the Red Sox World Champions t-shirts, the merchandise, the hats, like walking all around.
I legitimately didn't see one.
I saw a ton. I couldn't stop seeing them. It was like everywhere I looked, it was like a World Champion hat, like a shirt, like with the roster on it and the trophy. Like, it was just kind of brutal. I hate seeing
And Dom stuff. Looked at them with his eyes on fire a little bit. He was a little pissed when he saw
I was. Dude.
Yeah, had
I
some hate fire in his eyes.
Yeah, you were going to hit that old lady that had the sign.
We were going to throw him. The gloves were
I mean, it is
off.
True. You can hold that sign when you don't have a World Series, right? Like, I've been waiting for this long, never see one. The you can't have that sign once you win. The sign's done then.
Yeah,
right?
She's also 98 and, like,
now
still
hold on, she's 98 and saw what? One.
She
game
said this was her second.
It was her second trip to spring training.
She didn't say anything
what
about
that.
World
she was just in a wheelchair.
She was just like, I'm
There was a lady. That
she was 98.
Was she a Red Sox fan or
Yes, she was.
If she's 98, she's seen three.
If she's 98 and a Red Sox fan,
right? So I feel bad. It's like a little consolation. Like,
Okay. She was confused.
You 15 years sign. Ago, if I saw her holding that sign, I'd be like, you know what? I still hate the Red Sox, but she's got a point. It's been a long lifetime.
Her entire life, she's seen the Yankees win.
If she's 98 and a Red Sox fan, she has dropped tens of thousands of N-bombs. Like a 100-year-old Boston fan. It's the most racist city.
She was born in 1919.
She's clearly garbage.
It's 1920, right?
Yeah.
1920, so a year after that.
Quick math.
What happened? She had to go to a game in Tampa because she probably
couldn't
survive.
Listen, I'm no engineer. I can do that. 2019 minus 98. I can pull that off.
Yeah, yeah.
Either way, today was the place of the whole stadium was filled. They were selling spring training tickets for like $150, yeah. Which is insane. Anybody who's going down there paying $150 for spring training, you obviously like that. That's one of those things you look at and you're like, why are you paying that much money to see spring training? Is it because of that feeling? No. You want that emotion that badly?
No.
Because it's Yankees Red Sox?
Here's why. It's because the Yankees have pulled a complete 180 since 4 years ago, and actually brought up young players, and everyone is in it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, but all the young players are
the pros.
Do you
remember when
now?
We came down here for the 2016?
It was different
training.
Then than it is today.
It was different because no one, we were like, oh, maybe A-Rod won't suck this year. Maybe Tashar.
And we were looking forward to seeing
the We got $40 tickets for two rows behind the dugout because no one was here for spring training. No one gave a shit about those teams. People care about this team now because it's fun and exciting young players. They turned it around.
And
they want to watch Tyler Wade run around the bases.
Tyler Wade's fast.
I'm straight. Yeah.
I don't like the angle you're taking right now.
Florio hitting the oppo bomb like the other day. I mean, that's a cool thing to see from a 20-year-old.
Let's all just be honest with each other. You don't want to see Tyler Wade on this team.
It's not that. I just rather I'm a proponent of carrying both.
You want
Luke
three
Voigt.
First basemen.
I want Luke Voigt and Greg Bird in the team because I think there's a time where they could both get in the lineup.
Especially now
that Aaron Hicks is probably not going to start the season with
can
the
we,
team.
Can we all agree that whether it's Greg Bird is the 25th man on the roster or Tyler Wade on the 25th man on the roster, like that, it does not matter to start the season?
It does not.
Probably.
Well, it is all a moot point because of the Hicks injury. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a good chance of
person get the opportunity. Yeah.
Because I think what
or
you
Steven
saw,
Tarpley will be up, and then they'll send your boy Voigt down.
The outfield really alignment down. You saw today, I think, is a pretty good. I mean, Stanton's going to play in left, Gardner's going to play in center, and Judge in right. I think that's what you're going to see in the
for
outfield
like
the
April,
first
until Hicks is back.
Yeah, for opening day. I mean, I think that's what you're definitely going to see. Because I mean, doesn't sound like Frazier's going to make the team at this point. So,
and especially as
he's
we've
had
heard,
a terrible spring.
Especially as we've heard Aaron Boone talk about how he wants to make sure that Giancarlo primarily plays from DH, but that he still gets field experience and able to get out there on the field regularly. It would make sense that, especially starting the season with a shortened roster where we have more people, maybe necessarily in the bullpen or at first base, that he gets the opportunity to get as many games out there before maybe we have the necessity of using someone as a DH for injury purposes or something later on in the year. Or someone that's hot that we don't want to sit on a day that, you know, we got a big game coming up.
Right. I mean, he is a good. I mean, people forget Giancarlo is so big, but he's a good defender.
Mm-hmm.
And people forget that. So I don't think having him in left field will be not a problem.
And above average speed.
I don't even think people are forgetting that. I think that people don't want to see him out there all the time because of
stability.
The bottom line is, they're going to have three first basemen on the team because Aaron Hicks is injured.
Yeah.
And therefore, Frank, you can't be wrong yet. And that makes me mad.
That's so upsetting.
I mean, you're calling DJ LeMahieu a first baseman. Has he even played in any of
Aaron Boone
first
called
yet?
Him the backup first
like 4 years.
Yeah.
First,
played,
second, and third. Yeah, I mean.
Aaron Boone is the manager.
And he's the one who said it, actually. I'm just quoting Aaron Boone, the manager.
Wait, hold on. So speaking of Hicks being injured, I think this makes Brett Gardner's role a little bit more important now to this team.
Absolutely.
We saw him today.
Crashing into a wall.
He was crashing into a wall in spring training, and it was really a great play going back. Just fearless guardy back into the wall.
That's also the reason why every July and August he's terrible.
Right,
he's going balls to the wall in March.
You could totally make that argument. Like, we've looked at his career splits, and you guys have talked about his career splits before. Like, his second half of a season is just nowhere near as good, like, career-wise. So, but I think that he's going to play a very important role early on, at least in the season with him.
And especially if we're playing something of more of a platoon role, when he can actually have a greater impact on the beginning part of the season where we might actually need him. It's definitely not something that we should
But that's like saying you need him, we need him out of necessity. That's because Hicks is down.
Yeah.
But if he's in left field and Hicks is in center, it's a better team.
Because
then we have...
It's true, yeah.
So it's better defensively also. It's not like Gardner in center makes us a better team. It doesn't. It's a necessity.
It doesn't, no. Him is certainly not a negative either.
It's a good point for Tyler Wade making the team, though, because we need someone else who can play center field because Gardner cannot play out there every day at this point in his career. You're not going to see Brett Gardner play center field every day of the week. I don't think he's going to be just run down by June if you do that in April and May.
Well, I think if Hicks comes back, you know,
Do they care? Do they just want to run Gardner into the ground in the first?
They're still relatively paying him a lot of money. What's he getting paid this year? $8 million
Seven and a half.
Okay, so. Yeah. Last year he made 11, which was like one of the highest on the books. He is the starter.
The difference between 7.5 and 11 million.
He's a starting outfielder. I mean, until Clint Frazier proves he's healthy and can play every day in the majors and be good.
He's healthy, just didn't have a good spring.
Right, but I mean, he's obviously...
What if? JJ.
Here he comes.
We don't really know how much Jacoby Ellsbury's been working.
Therapy's panned out.
What if he just If Jacoby Ellsbury makes the opening day roster and plays center field,
he's your fifth outfielder.
Holy shit!
Might actually arrive tomorrow.
This was one of the topics I actually wrote down. Over under games played for Ellsbury 1-0
Under.
I'm taking the under.
Under.
Yeah, he's not getting on the field.
The moment
they declare him healthy and the Yankees can't collect insurance money from him being on the IL, they're going to release him,
Think actually, like when he goes home at night, what does he think?
I think
is he satisfied with himself?
He's collecting a paycheck. He's collecting
But being rich, like at a certain point, you still have to be a man.
Who is more despised in Yankee injury lore, Carl Pavano or Jacoby Ellsbury?
Jacoby Ellsbury.
I think you're right, which is impressive considering I remember how hated Carl Pavano was because he couldn't get on the mound.
He was also only paid $40 million. That was $150 million.
Yeah. True.
The fuck was that? I mean, I have zero faith that he's actually on a plane coming here as we speak. Like,
wasn't he supposed to arrive today or tomorrow?
Today or tomorrow? Yeah.
I haven't seen anything about it.
The 16th is what they had targeted.
I don't think they're going to make too much
sense. He's so healthy, he didn't fly. He just ran.
He ran. He Forrest Gumped across the United States.
So healthy. Just kept running.
So incredibly healthy.
That plantar fasciitis.
I'll show him.
Yankee sweater. How much Pedialyte did he have to drink to get his energy up?
You know what would be sick? You know what would be sick? And you know what Jacoby Ellsbury honestly owes us as fans?
An apology.
No. He, during this, his, like, rehab and physical therapy, he should just be taking whatever steroids he took to hit 30
home runs
to get this contract. Then he can go, then you know what? He eats an 80-game suspension, forfeits that salary, and then is injured and gets paid out the rest of his contract. He at least owes us until he gets caught to take steroids again.
That is max effort. When they say
He
has 6 to 8 hours of therapy, I expect about an hour of that to be just really good steroid shots.
Do you think
PRP injections?
Do you think Scott Boras and his team organized this where it's like, okay, you're going to be a free agent 2 years. We're going to give you steroids so you're awesome a year before you're free
agent. Well, Scott Boras never says that, but like...
His team, his people.
Well, not even his people. It's like three people away. Like, it's probably deeply...
It's the cousin of the world.
Yeah.
Scott Boras is orchestrating this, I believe.
At some point, yeah. I think at some point.
I think Scott Boras kind of orchestrates everything in the
major
leagues.
Can we talk about something that I've realized since I've been with you guys this weekend?
Absolutely.
Sure, JJ.
You don't like A-Rod at all.
I don't like
him. I like him.
I don't like A-Rod.
What do you have against A-Rod?
I was wearing an A-Rod Corp shirt on Friday. What are you talking about?
We're aware. Okay. All right, so maybe it's just you.
Man
put poison in his body to win us the 2009 World Series.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Scott has too much.
No, I've never tried that hard, Scott.
Scott has too much of the 80s in him. Where he,
what do you want him doing?
You live too many years in the 80s. You're an old school guy. You can't get on board with the new school type A-Rod players.
I don't even understand what that means. What do you mean? I don't like A-Rod because he's a lying sack of shit, and that's the reason. And the fact that he's gone on national television and told everybody multiple times that he hasn't done it, and then of course he did it. The guy's annoying. I don't like dealing with him because of that. It's more on the personal level.
You know how many young black men are in jail because they falsely admitted to crimes they didn't do?
So you're saying Katie Couric got the false accusation out of A-Rod, or got
she
him
is
to do
so
it?
Convincing.
Wasn't it Peter Gaines?
She was the face of our childhood.
No, it was watching it. Selena Roberts did the whole, remember?
Okay,
the, yeah.
Katie Couric, Selena Roberts, whatever. The fact is that he's a lying sack of shit. That's what
remember
he is.
Remember when we went on Mike? Remember when
I
Francesco?
Like his mannerisms. I don't like the way he prances when he runs.
He
like
turned
that.
Around his image, though. He's been Mr. Clean. That, he's Mr. PR.
It's all
social
fake.
Media.
It's
all
J-Lo.
Or $5 billion.
Look, here's the deal, though. Like, right. I don't not like him to a point where I hate the guy. I dismiss it. I just don't care anymore.
The real
that's
question is Jose
I'll be honest,
Canseco
being around
the
you,
truth.
It seems like you care.
No, you guys are just bringing it up, so I'm telling you. It's I'm dismissing
well, I brought it up this
yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I brought it up because it just.
I told you if he
poison in his body.
What did I say in the last show? If he started tweeting like he talks and gives me a shishi Shabathia, like during I'll go 180.
Yeah.
On
yeah.
That.
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Well, he's got. I mean, he's
that's
got too much
I need
he's
that.
Got
if
too
he
much
some person
if he had any level of self-deprecation and lack of insecurities, I would well, actually
there
probably.
Was, I think there was like a 3 month period where A-Rod was actually genuine, and it was at some point during the 2015 season.
And it was
because
he was trying to create a relationship with the Yankees.
The problem is he realized, oh, people are actually coming back to my side, so now I need to monetize this and capitalize this, and he's been phony again ever since.
He hit three home runs in Tampa in one game, and that was right in the middle of it.
Right, but like there was a couple month period there where he was genuine, like just fun having A-Rod. Like, I'm gonna lead this team, random group of guys, to a playoff game, and then he got phony again. I think that's what happened.
And during that whole thing, I definitely like. I was off of the dude because he was actually acting like a person.
Oh, we're
he's just not a real person. So, yeah,
this
that's
is,
why I don't like it. Really.
This is nothing. What are you talking about?
Yeah, don't worry. Oh,
I forgot there was video.
I don't think this video is ever going to get edited together.
I strongly do. This is what Dom does.
If Dom doesn't do it, you can send it to me, and I will make sure that.
I think it is more likely Jacoby Ellsbury plays a game than this video ever gets edited.
So greater than 0% chance then.
Yeah.
All right. That's a stand
we'll
to take.
Do you honestly think though that you would have a problem getting $21 million to sit at home in Portland or wherever the fuck he lives?
Yes.
The Pac Northwest.
I think there's no way he goes to bed every night and is happy. There's no way.
Oh,
it does not matter.
He's extremely happy.
No, there's no way that he...
You know why? Because I think he thinks he's trying his best and that he's just had some bad luck.
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
And it'll come around.
Bad luck.
It'll come around.
I just know myself, if I put myself in those shoes, $100 million, if I am publicly ridiculed, I am not happy at night no matter how much money I have. I care too much. It's a fault of my own. I care too much about what other people think.
But that's you, not Jacoby Ellsbury.
Maybe Jacoby Ellsbury.
Have you ever seen when Scrooge McDuck swims in Thingamoney?
I've seen that gif all over Twitter.
Similar. It's a similar situation, I believe.
Ellsbury is Scrooge McDuck.
He's Scrooge McDuck.
He's just swimming in money.
Sure.
He probably lives in like
in
some
coins,
weird
that's
house.
A public, that's a public facade, though. He is putting a front.
I don't think
Scrooge McDuck was miserable.
I don't think he's
so on the inside. He's miserable.
I don't think Jacoby Ellsbury is any public anything. I think he probably lives like a huge
house. When's the last time we've seen him?
Kind of like in the woods.
I mean, Tyler Wade kind of looks like him, so we kind of
he probably has a huge house there too
in the desert.
And that's like $75 per bedroom to buy a house in Arizona.
10 cents a square foot. Yeah.
Yeah. Pricey.
So, all right, so the question is, what do the Yankees actually do with him? What do you guys think is going to happen?
I don't think he comes back healthy, so they do nothing.
I'm at the point where I don't care anymore about, like...
You will when he starts...
I don't either, but I'd like to see
no, because the team is good enough now. Where, like, 3 years ago, it was annoying where he was playing, and it's like, this team sucks, and now we're paying Ellsbury. He's our highest-paid player. Now the team is so good that they're projected to be the best team in baseball. I don't care what they do with Ellsbury.
But you will care if he starts playing.
He's not
surely.
Going to.
Yeah, I don't.
But I'm saying,
any
who on this roster
if he did,
would he ever play ahead of, unless barring injury?
If he did, then
he already got Hicks injured, so that's
injury.
A thing.
Tyler Wade is
not Tyler
play.
Wade.
Oh, not Tyler Wade.
Yeah.
Not Apo Taco Tyler
you
Wade.
Know,
do
we
know
away?
What we could actually do with
exactly
him if we wanted to get rid of him
the
though,
same person.
Or not play him on the
Dom's
roster?
Dom's
got an idea.
They're not
going to
play him.
Dom's got an idea. Like, what are the options to get rid of him?
I mean, obviously,
no,
you
do what they did to A-Rod.
Yeah, you have to release him.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not traded.
You don't have to release him. You just say go home.
I still think
they're
going to give
him
one more chance.
Contract.
I still think they might give him one more chance.
crazily enough, I think it still could happen.
I think he comes back to do like a minor league like assignment, like a rehab thing, and then something happens.
Yeah, and he gets injured.
Yeah, he'll do like three games for the Tarpons.
He's not back.
And then go back to Arizona.
If he did get back on the field and it was in the Bronx, would he get
booed? So bad.
Would he get booed, or would he just get no reaction? I feel like
he would get booed.
There's so many new bandwagon fans.
Really?
I think there's so many new bandwagon fans in the last 2 years that they don't even.
Yeah, no, but everybody knows.
No, but they just learn to hate. You just learn to hate.
I mean,
yeah, so it's all negative.
I don't think I would boo. I don't think I would boo the guy, but I hate booing your own player.
You'd probably be at a Predators game.
Yeah, well, I think booing your own player. You see Pecorino
suit up in net.
Hey, that's right. Hey, he's a good goalie. But anyway. I think booing your players is stupid in general, so I don't see a reason to boo them.
I think
he's
anybody who pays a ticket to go to the stadium can do whatever the fuck they want. If they want
to boo them. I mean, you can do that. It's well within your rights.
Remember
I mean,
that?
We live in America, but I just think it's silly.
At the fourth Bronx Pinstripe event this season, buy tickets. Scott will be streaking because he paid. And
he can do whatever he wants.
Within the boundaries of...
This is the live read.
But yeah, no, if you want to boo, you want to cheer... Look, there's an expectation. That's why New Yorkers boo, because there's an expectation. And if you don't meet that expectation and you're still collecting those checks,
I understand.
You deserve to get booed in some circumstances.
And we have the best bagels.
But we're nice in the South, Scott. So I don't like being rude to people, you know.
Well,
I
mean, he's
one
of our own.
Just one of our own.
The Midwest.
Absolutely. Yeah. Midwest. No, it's the Midwest. South.
I got to be honest with you.
They serve biscuits.
I don't know where
Tennessee
is.
Gravy there.
Where's Tennessee?
West south of Kentucky. North Carolina and south of Kentucky.
Yeah.
I picture Tennessee. Landlocked. I picture Tennessee near Kansas.
No,
if you
not really,
it's east and south of Kansas.
I can't believe you don't know who Davy Crockett is, dude.
I mean, I just don't. Okay. I don't.
If I look what,
just don't care.
Live in Tennessee.
Yeah,
Davy Crockett.
He did something. I don't know.
Joke.
You're the only Tennessee. That's what we hear. That's what we hear at the bars all the time.
So what else do you guys want to talk about?
Well, just to finish up on the Ellsbury conversation.
That horse is still moving around.
Because there is a legitimate point where Brian Cashman may have to make the decision is he going to take up a major league roster spot, or am I either going to cut him and pay him?
That's not Cashman's decision. That he has to get approval for.
Or kill him.
There
or,
are so many barriers for him to get to that point. Because of the rehab association. He's got to do a spring training. Yeah. He's got to go through. He's got to actually fly here and step off the plane and then walk to the facility.
It's a long stretch.
And then go home and like take a shower maybe and like, you know, walk out of his house.
Poop.
Get in the car possibly. Take a dump.
You were saying
all these things
have
to happen.
It's a long season though.
Sure. Okay. This team is so good and so talented. Let's not waste any more time talking about Jacoby Ellsbury. Like, there's so many other things we could be.
I have a question with the Jacoby Ellsbury situation.
Yeah.
If George Steinbrenner was still running the team,
Jesus Christ.
Would he?
I love this hypothetical.
Would he have?
If George was still alive, George is boxed.
Would he have hired a private investigator to dig up dirt on Ellsbury?
1,000% But so, what would the nickname he came up with him? It would have been something racial with the Native.
I mean, he called it.
He would do way worse on
Ellsbury. He would have called him Chief something. Chief Suck or something.
God.
It's an avenue we should
Chief
probably
Chief Suck.
Chief Broken Bones. Like, he would have come up with something.
Chief Broken Bones.
God.
Chief Broken Bones. Well, I mean, he can't.
Now
he
we're
called, he
fun.
Called. He called Hideki Arabu the fat toad, right. And
I'm
the
sorry,
poor bastard
it back
hung himself.
Yeah,
he
Jesus.
Was so
I'm
sorry.
I was trying not to bring it up.
I know.
He did all call right. him the fat toad.
He
though.
Did.
That was pretty.
Yeah.
So
and then he committed suicide.
What years and years later?
How do you know that didn't affect him?
So what else is there to talk about as far as Yankees?
Can you imagine the boss calling you the fat toad? Like, I would feel pretty terrible.
Imagine your boss at work calls you a fat toad.
Like every day you pulled up and you're like, "What's up, morning, fat toad?"
So
people on Twitter calling you a fat toad.
How do you do today, fat toad?
Yeah.
So Miguel
said fat toad on the back of the Daily News. Like that was just because there wasn't Twitter then. Just the next day, the newspaper just said fat toad, and it just had a picture of a Arabu.
And you know what? Do you think it was worse for people
it's
then?
It's so
or
mean.
It was like the Daily News was calling you fat toad, or it's like 1,000 people on Twitter calling you fat toad. Like, I think
the Daily News is more impact.
I feel like
absolutely.
The Daily News
when
had
it was
more
like
magnitude
the like, than like
yeah,
the average
saw.
Joe.
Yeah.
Like,
everyone
you,
saw it.
Yeah.
There are some people fat who aren't toad. On Twitter.
Yeah.
You know?
And that shit was hitting everybody's
door. Every single person. I feel like the reach was like broader back then. Like I feel like more people definitely saw the newspaper.
It's more segregated. It's so divided. Like,
not to get into a conversation about print journalism.
If some D-bag calls somebody a fat toad on Twitter, that's not as impactful as like having fat toad plastered on the back of a newspaper. But anyway.
Yeah.
So Miguel Andujar's defense. I like this.
The hype is real.
Dude, I like this. This hockey's at
DRS.
I don't know. Look, I don't think they'd do that in spring training, but this little hockey's at it, he's looking really good.
We went to the game the other day in Toronto, the Toronto game, whatever that town's called.
Dunedin.
That one. And he made two phenomenal plays. Today he made some more plays. Like, the kid is definitely, you see the work that he's put in, and he looks different in the way that he approaches. The hop. With the pitch, the little mechanics look better. He's definitely got a different arm slot in a lot of places. So you can tell that the work is there. So it's just a matter of if it stays and sticks into the season. We'll see.
That play he made towards the line. The other day is probably the rangiest play I've seen him make in the majors. So, even though it's still spring training, but I mean it's still a thing he did.
And there was a ball that went down the line that was very similar to that. It went foul in that Toronto game, and he had already picked it.
Manny Machado who?
No, so that's exactly what I was going to say. Here's my concern with Andujar. If he does not have a better season than the last year, which was a fantastic rookie season, all the talk is going to be is they should have signed Manny Machado.
I mean, you know my opinion on this. It's not my money. The Yankees should have signed Manny Machado. No. He's a 26-year-old superstar, great defender, great bat. They should have signed him. It's not my money, though.
And that's the opinion of most Yankee fans.
But it's their money, and they didn't want to do that, so they did other things to improve the team, which is totally fine. But they are putting a lot of stock into Andujar's defense not being the dead last worst in the league, which it was last year.
I might be in the minority opinion, but I actually like seeing players actually develop, though. And, I mean, we have our homegrown guys that we're able to actually get to see grow. And I understand that, Manny Machado is absolutely a better player. And we live in a day where MLB does have a soft salary cap. And when you look at a player like Miguel Andujar, who, by the way, was the second AL Rookie of the Year,
I just have a problem with everybody trying to upgrade every single fucking position to a goddamn superstar because we're the New York
Kids. When there's $24 million a year.
We have a very good player who's at third base. Let him go.
Yeah, let him be. Absolutely.
How can we
I don't have a problem with that.
But how can we possibly judge a defender at 23 years old? You know what I mean? Like, that's where I stand up and say, like, why is everybody saying that he's the worst right now? But he's 23 years old.
Why? It's because now the metrics are actually available.
That's something.
Thanks to sabermetrics people like Frank over there.
You don't need sabermetrics. You can look at your eyes. You don't need sabermetrics to see that he was a terrible defender last year.
Talk that shit, champ.
Sabermetrics tells you on what level or what scale he was. He was the worst in the league last year. So, but the Yankees think that he has a skill that he can improve, and that's what's important here.
You don't also think, though, that if this were 1998 instead of 2018 last year, that we would have just looked at errors and been done with it?
Yes,
we would have. Yankees front office, not necessarily, but we would have.
What were front offices doing? I don't think they had it.
But errors are also
not much. Computers.
Errors are a terrible way to evaluate how good.
I don't think they were on the World Wide Web.
Had
Al Gore on the internet yet?
No, why are errors so bad
to judge someone defensively?
Because a lot of the times players are making errors on balls that. If you can't get to the ball, that's not an
90%
error.
90% of the time you make an error, like, it's an error.
There's a lot to be said about
error
wrong. Matt Chapman.
He made more errors than Miguel Andujar last year.
Which is ridiculous. He's one of the best defensive third basemen in baseball.
Yeah. He got to double the amount of balls as Andujar.
Right. But you get to the ball, you fumble it, and the official scorer, who's usually an idiot, gives you an error because you fumble the ball.
I agree.
But a ball that Miguel Andujar wouldn't have sticked, come close to.
I'm of the thinking
hashtag
that you should take
for official scorer.
You honestly should take a lot of stock in just general errors. Like, you definitely should.
I disagree.
Key component of defense, dude.
So,
like, you could say range this, range that. A scout said this, the other thing. But, like, if you're making errors, you're making errors.
No, I mean, I understand
especially
that.
Errors
but, like,
that affect games.
MLB Network has this take, and they play a clip, and you have to guess whether the official scorer ruled it a hit
is this
or an error.
Hold on, Frank.
And it's always 50-50. Yes, it is a Brian Kenny thing.
Frank,
he's smart.
Can I play a game? Marry, fuck, kill. Wins, RBIs, errors.
Oh, God. Can I kill them all?
No, that's the whole point of the game.
No.
The game.
Jesus, man.
No, I guess I'll marry. That's actually. In that case, I guess I'll marry errors. That's a great question.
Hold on. You're marrying.
Errors is the least egregious.
You got this, dude. Be confident in what you say. Let them know.
Yeah, but who are you going to marry or fuck? That's the more important question.
I guess I'll marry RBI.
You're going to marry errors.
And fuck wins.
You married errors, actually. So I'm
no,
going to fuck her too.
I don't know, man. They all suck. They're all terrible ways to evaluate talent.
Dude, you got to come up with a better answer.
In my opinion.
Like, we want this. Clear cut.
But the thing is, I'm not the weird one. This is how MLB front office evaluate talent.
I really want to know how you value these three things.
Coming to you to a podcast
real soon.
This is how MLB front offices evaluate talent.
So
I'm trying to evaluate talent same.
Where do you think? Because I feel like we've been going on for a little bit, so we should actually like talk about the season. Where we think we're going to end up. Besides the parade, but
that's right.
Goddamn right. Do you think we win the division?
Yes, I think the Red Sox bullpen is such trash right now that I think that's the differentiator right now.
Yeah.
Like, in all seriousness.
So, I think we win the division. I don't think it's a runaway.
No.
I think it would have been, if everyone was healthy, I think it would have been a runaway.
You mean last year?
No, this year. We were healthy, if we had Severino.
I don't know, but how long? Like, Severino's out until at least May 1st. But, like, how do we know how long?
I think someone else.
30 games.
I think another outfielder in April, like, you know, a hamstring gets tight or something because, you know, it's a wet day or some shit like that. And we end up in a, you know, almost a, like Shane Robinson's playing.
Right.
Here's the problem with, like, having a runaway, though.
We're very close to that.
The problem with having a tight race in the AL East and having a runaway is a difference of, like, two or three games. Because if you get four games out or so towards the end, then all of a sudden you have a wild card spot. You're trying to position yourself for something. So the gap extends and looks way worse.
What happened last year was Judge goes down end of April. And then, end of July.
July, yeah.
And then 5 days later they go to Fenway for a four-game series and get their ass kicked four games.
Yeah.
So it's like, if Judge doesn't break his wrist, maybe they even win one game. Right. And it's just a complete...
I remember that was when the division
ended.
That's
a two-game swing. Right. That game, like, the division was essentially over in... Yeah. Early August last year, because the Red Sox took a commanding lead and just swept them. Like,
you know, it's very
one little thing like that can change it.
Yeah, it's like super cliche to say, but it's all contingent upon health. Like, you know, last year the big boppers for the Red Sox, they were all healthy throughout the year.
They had a perfect season.
Devers, Benintendi, Betts, and JD were healthy as could be. They had guys step up. Like, Eddie Rodriguez was hurt for a little bit, but he like stepped up as like their fourth guy. And then Sale was down for a couple weeks. Didn't have any impact on.
Stephen Wright was taking PDs.
And it didn't have any impact because they had run away with it by that point.
That
was after the four-game sweep, and it was just over at that point.
Not even that, but their 24th and 25th man, like Stephen Wright and Steve Pierce, were the most impact players September and October for him.
And Ryan
too,
which is something that
you cannot
Ryan
expect
Brazier?
On any roster.
Hypothetically,
or Ryan Brazier, which is also known as Frank's lookalike. So,
hypothetically, say Mookie Betts goes down for like 60 games, like that's really what's going to decide like the division. Like it's
absolutely
horrible to say, and like you never root for an injury, but if one of their big boppers were to go down on the Red Sox, like that's what it would take for it to be a runaway. But I think it's going to be close the whole year. Yeah.
If you had to take Mookie Betts or Aaron Judge for the next 10 years, who you taking?
Such a trick question.
I'll take Betts. I'll say it.
Leave Frank. Get the fuck out.
No, that's fine. I mean, I just think that.
You know,
listen, Judge is they are both.
You are such a piece of shit.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck you, man.
And that was on behalf of people.
That's fine.
Let's do a podcast about roses and daisies. I mean, I'm just saying. I think that Mookie Betts will age better because Judge is 6'7" and 300 pounds. I mean, or whatever he is,
285.
But right now, they're both two of the top five best players in baseball. But I think Betts will age
better.
It's tough
to compare.
Here's what I will say,
though.
They're
two kind of different.
Yeah, they're completely different players.
They're different, but like then when you like on paper,
they're going to have
similar,
and they're going to have similar net value.
Yeah,
because
they're both really good.
No, right.
Stylistically, it's
well, and statistically, they're similar.
Let's take this from a different perspective.
No, but their styles
is Aaron Judge is an older player, and he's going to have more pre-arbor. He's an older player compared to
28.
No,
he came up.
They're both the same age.
No, but what I'm trying to get at is more than likely, let's say Mookie Betts does become a career player for the Red Sox and he signs that extension, and Aaron Judge signs his more than likely expected extension as a New York Yankee.
more than likely, Mookie Betts is going to be a much more expensive player based off of the age that he came up at and the age that he's going to become available to become a free agent. So at that point, you might want to say, especially with how front offices work, that Aaron Judge, even though working on a shorter timeline, may actually be a more valuable player per year than Mookie Betts.
It
is a way to say that Aaron Judge may be more effective in a shorter period of time than maybe Mookie Betts is over a longer period of time because of just when they came up.
That's why the question wasn't
just said.
That's tough.
No?
So my head, my brain.
That's tough to say.
I mean,
about
it's challenging, but
is the MVP like
the whole aging thing? I think the way that their body types are is a big factor in you're talking about. Like the way that Judge
and it doesn't
will
matter.
Age,
yeah.
That and you're talking about the value. Like I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But the body type also I think comes into because we have one little hitch in Judge. And it's going to be
massive.
A huge mechanical problem.
All right, so he's had two full seasons. He has not been healthy for one. He's been injured in both of them.
Yeah. But he's come back with issues.
It's true, but...
And that's the thing. It's just if you had to pick one of the two... Like, right now, they're both two of the top five players in baseball. It's those two guys. It's Mike Trout.
Mookie Betts' bald spot creeps me out.
Does he have a he has a Tiger Woods bald spot?
Yo, he's got cooler eyes, though. Let's just be honest.
Really?
It's so bad.
I don't haven't seen him with
that. He doesn't do anything without a hat on.
He should probably shave his head. Why doesn't he shave his head?
Because he doesn't want to give up on it yet.
Too young.
Dude, those Tennessee guys, man, they're
Do you think he's avocoring it up?
Who?
Are we going to really talk about, like, is this your segue to shaving heads?
Yo, we should shave Frank's head.
This is the hill JJ wants to die on.
Yo, that's such a good idea. We should shave your head.
I'm good.
Video.
I'm good, man.
But you're a bald guy.
Yeah.
So we're just doing the regular.
Yeah.
But not with a razor.
But making it look better.
But better.
Yeah, I mean,
but
like,
better because it's necessary.
I like the electric razor deal.
We're making it look like you care.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool, man.
You're being a baldist?
I'm better looking than you, so it's fine. It'll be all right.
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm trying to help.
Wow.
I'm trying to help.
It's my new best friend, JJ. It's such a beautiful friendship that's formed this week.
Shut up, nerd. It really has been a great, great day. 24 hours. It's been productive.
All right, new topic.
What's the topic, Frank?
What are we looking at?
Frank, there are topics.
Andrew, don't you have a list in your head?
Our Saber Patricia.
I do have a list.
All right, well, let's hit up one of those.
Go ahead.
We've got MLB rule changes. You
absolutely.
Guys interested in MLB rule changes?
Absolutely.
Let's hit this for sure.
I'll hit it.
I'm so sick of rules. That's all we talked about all offseason was friggin' rules.
Goddamn rules.
Stupid.
I think it's weird that they can just be like, oh, by the way, you're in the middle. You're
is
ready
Phil
for the
Hughes
season.
On a team?
We're changing.
What's that?
Well, is Phil Hughes on a team right
no,
now?
No, he's not.
But he's
no.
been barbecuing.
He's not a Twitter. He's been Twitter.
He's been
he
all
tweets
Twitter.
A-Rod all the
Wait,
time.
Are you sure
he's actually, he's good on
he's
Twitter.
He's funny on Twitter.
I like Phil Hughes a lot on Twitter.
Yeah.
I appreciate
it. I didn't like Phil Hughes the last time he was
every single evening, this dude talks you up at like 2 a.m.
That is...
He
had
blocked me a couple years ago. When
he
was bad at baseball.
I'm saying he hasn't tweaked that.
No, he's not, but I appreciate it because it is consistent.
Yeah.
I like Phil Hughes. I think he's a good guy.
I'm surprised he doesn't have a job right now, though.
I'm
it's because he's a fly ball pitcher who has a
Dallas
Keuchel's
still
on the
poor
fastball.
Phil Hughes?
Well, nobody's asking for... Phil Hughes is not asking for a Dallas Keuchel contract.
He might play for the Padres last year.
I think Phil Hughes still has like another year on his contract.
I thought he was still
the
a
franchise.
Twin.
The yeah, franchise.
Still
Padre last year.
The Twins.
With, what's his name?
Twins released him.
Who else did we
big,
send over
big
there?
James. James.
No, Brian Mitchell.
Brian Mitchell, thank you.
That oh, that's right.
The
yeah.
Twins released
yeah.
him.
Which I thought he was going to do well for them. He was not good for them.
No, he was a 4A guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was. He
Absolutely.
Really was. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so apparently we don't want to talk about MLB rule changes.
We don't want to?
Do no. we?
Okay.
It sounds like not.
Yeah.
I just think
so,
the one that-
I think it's weird that they could be like, oh, by the way, these rules are changing for this year that you've already begun preparing.
Well, the rules that they're making for 2019 are not that impactful.
Yeah, they're like no.
just at
like commercial breaks went from like 2 minutes to two or two
well,
or five
the ones
to 2 minutes.
About is yeah. the, are the 2020 rules?
Do you think?
Though?
This is an honest question. So they're making these rule changes to quote fix the game.
Yeah.
None of these rule changes are actually going to do what they want.
They're
them
trying
to
no. shave 10 minutes off a game,
which is
it's not even 10 minutes. It's last year they shaved like. Almost 4 minutes. So they're literally
2 years
going
ago
for,
they shaved 4 minutes.
They're going
last
for
year
five
was
or less minutes.
Yeah, they're going for like no. They want to take like six.
Nobody feels that. You cannot
you,
feel
you
five.
Less five
yeah.
So the game
no.
ends at 9:20.
You know
you can feel
I've heard it my whole life.
Then the game
five
ends at 10:20 versus 10:25.
I don't know that feeling.
5 minutes is significant in some works.
One by one.
Yeah,
like 5 minutes off.
Absolutely.
3 minutes off, like pitch clock.
I really can't.
Like everything.
I can't stand the whole one by one, you have to face three batters thing.
Like, I just like the whole point of starting the games earlier and tricking
us. I love that shit.
Tricking us into that it's a shorter game.
Start at 6:30.
You are absolutely right about that.
Or 6. Yeah.
Go earlier. Fuck it.
7 is way too late.
Because when you're watching a Yankees-Red Sox game and it's a 3-hour and 40-minute game at minimum...
You guys should move to Central
Time. If it's 6:35, it's 10:10. Which, like, you know...
6 o'clock start times game, in Central Time, 5:30 sometimes.
Yeah, nobody cares about the West Coast. Though.
Yeah, no one gives a shit.
Like,
yeah.
We just go on East Coast. That's where it is. We put it on East Coast time at 6 o'clock.
Yep. Especially baseball, which is such a local sport.
It's like, so regional. Yeah, absolutely.
I understand there's Yankees fans all over the country, all over the world, but it's mostly a local sport.
Right.
So. That's our rule.
Well, that's where people care about as far as the timing. Yeah, there's a now with MLB TV, there's a million people watching from all over the place, but they just don't care. They care about the East Coast.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like it's always been like that for TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reasonable expectations for Troy Tulowitzki. What do y'all think?
I mean, my expectations
too
are
too low.
So low.
I like what you did there. You said too low.
Did you do that on purpose? Nice one.
That's nice.
So he's
you know what? He's showing he's healthy,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't see a reason why he can't hit 250, a couple big hits early on.
Batting average doesn't matter. No, it doesn't. Yeah,
I'm just putting it out there as a prime. I'm not saying like, you know,
what are you, a dinosaur?
OPS plus like 105, like that'd be fun.
He's like, oh, now I understand.
No, I get it now.
Yeah.
Listen, I think you play okay defense and play 5 days a week. Then I guess either they're going to play Tyler.
Why do you think he's just going to play okay defense though? Like if he goes out there and he's going to play
surgery on two ankles.
Because the last time he was healthy, even worse. He only played okay defense.
Yeah, I mean he said
he wasn't healthy though.
He said double.
He was 2016. He played
surgery,
a full
dude.
Season. He was healthy.
He was terrible.
All right.
Just be completely abstract. Remember the days?
He wasn't going to get injured until 2017.
Dude, he's 34 now. Like, what 34-year-old shortstop?
2017, 2018, he was injured.
That's not a position that ages well.
He played average defense.
Yeah.
And he was average offensively.
But what I'm saying, when you're saying healthy, that's like saying Zach Britton was healthy last year, and that's what we should expect. Like, I think he's going to be a different player this year because there's a year removed
from there was no previous injury to Tulo. Tulo was fully healthy in 2015, 2016, fully healthy. Then he got injured.
Absolutely. But he did go to Canada.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are you saying?
It counts.
There's something in the water.
The further you go north.
Well, he was playing on turf. I mean, that's a legitimate... Like, that's why I thought that trade was dumb for him, personally.
That could actually be...
Because, like, he was already starting to break down, and he got traded to a field that was
when
turf.
When was the injury before 15? In 2014,
he had hip issues before then, right?
Wasn't it heels throughout, though,
He had hip issues, and now this last thing, he had surgery on both
heels. Had some, like, weird, like, oblique/hip issues when he was in Colorado.
Yes.
I do remember that, especially towards the end.
Dude.
Now, what I find so amazing about Tulowitzki is, I mean, I know he has, as a player, aged, but when you look at him, I just think about when Derek Jeter had the discussions about a final extension with Brian Cashman, and Brian Cashman thought about replacing him.
And he made a public statement about
that. Yeah, absolutely. And when you get to the point where the Toronto Blue Jays are paying him to play for the New York Yankees now at this point.
I just don't understand why they would touch him.
It's just such a ludicrous and insane way to go about business. And I don't understand how, as a Toronto Blue Jay front office,
they didn't think he could play anymore, and that's why.
At all.
So if you listen to, he was actually on R2C2 this week, and he was saying, and Ryan Rucco asked him, they were like, he said, so are you excited to prove it to anybody this year that you can get back on the field? Yeah. And he was basically saying, like, yeah, there are a few people that have counted me out, and you'll see it this year. He sounded pretty fiery.
So you're buying it.
No, I'm just saying, I think that he thinks he's healthy, and we're about to find out. I think he's healthy. We're about to find out if he has anything
certainly
left.
Looks it.
What does he do if Didi comes back in June or July? What is Tulo?
That's Didi's job. There's no way he's going to outperform Didi. Like, this is a placeholder. This is a Band-Aid until Didi comes back.
What if the Band-Aid works out?
Then the Yankees are going to try to
trade him and get some type of B prospect back.
I think he has no trade, doesn't he? Wasn't that the only agreement that was actually stipulated? I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, I think I remember hearing something about that, actually.
Yeah, I believe it was a no trade. It was a minor league or a major league minimum, but he's required that it was a no trade.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think I remember hearing something about that, though.
That doesn't mean he can't be traded, though.
Right.
He doesn't agree to it.
If he agrees to
another situation.
Realistically, yeah, I don't think there's any chance that Tulowitzki ends up being so good where this is an issue. I think the Yankees are just going to release him or bench him when Didi comes back. Yeah. There's no way that this is going to be an issue when Didi comes back.
Who plays more games for the Yankees this year, Tulowitzki or Greg Bird?
Oof. Tulowitzki.
That's... I'll say Greg Bird. Just to be different than JJ. Because I think Tulo doesn't have a spot at all when Didi comes back. I think Bird could even be sent down first. He could come back up in June.
And I think Scott's probably going to agree with me, but I think with Greg Bird, not only is he a Brian Cashman fanboy, which they want to see play out and actually be successful at the major league level, but he also provides that key word, flexibility. And it's flexibility not necessarily at any position in the field, because he's obviously locked
up. I'm about to say he only plays one position, yeah.
But he is a left-handed bat in the lineup. And when you have a left-handed bat in the lineup, when we are so...
Here's the thing. That doesn't matter.
And his splits are so strong. You have to be an effective. His splits are strong too.
He's got no splits because he's not on the field. That's the problem.
The guy.
He's got to be able to hit.
We can hand him the job today. Yeah. He'll be injured next week.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like
he's not going to be healthy.
Yeah.
Who are we talking about? Ellsbury?
Greg Bird.
No. Listen, this is my one. Greg Ellsbury. Give me one more year to dream on Greg Bird. And Luke Voigt's also awesome. I love Luke Voigt too.
You probably still text her. Oh my god.
But give me one more year.
One more.
Try it again.
Oh, God. I'll give it a shot. I know.
I know you can be better.
He's going to pull the rug out from under me at some point this year.
We all have more potential. We can figure this out.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Remember us the way we were.
All right.
Listen, I would be glad to give the speech at Greg Bird's Hall of Fame induction for the Spring Training Hall of Fame.
But here's my reasoning for that, though.
No, I'll put that plaque up.
Here's my reasoning for what I said, though.
Absolutely.
Who is more likely to be on this team in July, Greg Bird or Troy Tulowitzki? Who's more likely to be on the team?
Greg Bird.
July?
Greg Bird.
Absolutely. And that's without question, you would say that, right? Which is why I'm saying I think he plays more games.
Well, it's also tough to cut a guy when he's out injured.
I think neither one of them
are on a rehab assignment. Yeah.
It's
like
possible.
He has been every single season.
I'm just saying the plan is
up.
When Didi comes back, Tulowitzki becomes expendable because Didi is a great shortstop.
Who do you think is happier?
Do you think Greg Bird has started thinking about expanding other skill sets? Like maybe selling insurance.
Fishing.
Making what's in the stadium.
So I don't think West. But like I don't think that's a career.
He's already made almost three or four million dollars, a relief pitcher
for the Twins.
Which is enough to live on. For the rest of his life.
No.
No, it's not.
Not even close.
No.
Because he's got New York and Major League Baseball expenses.
Yeah.
If you've made $3 million salary.
You can definitely invest that.
Yeah. So obviously you're not taking home $3 million paying taxes.
Investment.
All I'm saying is he's not. It's not like this is 1950 and he's a failed baseball player and he needs to sell insurance in the offseason.
Yeah. I'm not saying in the offseason. I'm just saying, like, sometimes it doesn't work out.
Yeah. What would Greg Bird's profession be, though?
He would be a snowboard instructor.
Yeah. In Colorado.
That 100%. Is way too physical for Greg Bird.
An instructor.
No, instructor.
You don't have to actually do it.
You just kind of point and tell them how to do things. You don't really...
Small slopes.
He'll be on ski patrol.
Yeah.
You can't put him on skis.
I think he's working at a snack bar.
You can't put him on cleats.
Golf.
You want to put him on skis?
I think he's
But can we all agree that he's still wearing those bro sunglasses, though? Like... He's got to be wearing them, regardless of what job he does.
He's at home at skis because it reminds him of riding in a wheelchair out of
a lifeguard. That could be a really good role for him. Yeah.
He does have the look of like, are you drowning?
Yeah.
Like the way his eyes are just like angry birds. Yeah.
His eyes are angry birds.
Are you drowning out there?
Perpetually
angry bird. Yeah. He does. Yeah. Look at Greg Bird the next time you see him, and he. And tell me it doesn't kind of look like he's like, are you drowning?
Yeah.
Shit, man. Like, I gotta grab that.
I gotta take my t-shirt off.
I gotta get the can. That's what they call that on Baywatch. You guys don't remember that because you're young bucks. Me and Scott do.
I'm a Baywatch guy.
Yeah, trust me, we know. We can tell.
David Hasselhoff.
First of all, he ain't moving fast enough to save anybody's life.
Your fart is smelling Baywatch. Right.
I think that's a compliment.
This is.
Maybe. Who knows?
All right. I have no more topics.
What do we have? Anything else to discuss?
All right, guys, hey, this was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah, this was a blast. Frank is the best.
So I was going to do this at the beginning,
dude,
but
you want to vote for 45 MVP?
No, no,
for Frank.
Let's flip it back to Andrew.
What I was going to say is everyone, because no, like we're all just talking. No one knows who's actually on this. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We have an interesting.
That works for me.
Okay, fine.
Great.
Good.
All right. It's mystery.
Yeah.
And, but Frank
none of us
is
are
here.
Known.
Everyone should know
that
Frank
box.
Is here.
Frank is here.
And we should absolutely. Try to make a distinct clip for his voice.
Let's go around and say what our favorite part of the show was.
Go first.
I already know where this is going.
Hang out with you, JJ.
All right, that's a wrap. Good show, guys. Frank, thanks.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.